of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
The gospel passage that is appointed for us this Sunday follows immediately from the passage in Mark that we heard last week. The verses that began this morning's reading followed directly after the conclusion of what we heard last week. That concluding verse last week was this: "Then Jesus took a little child and put it among them, among his disciples, among those gathered round. And taking the child in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me.'" John clearly wasn't listening as Jesus was speaking to the disciples. This morning's passage, which follows immediately after these words of Jesus, is John just dying to tell Jesus about how they stopped somebody from doing good works in Jesus' name. It's not clear why John is so eager to tell that to Jesus, but it is clear, like we so often do, John wasn't listening. He was just dying to say what he was ready to say. But Jesus brings him back and brings the disciples back. The context for last week's reading and for this week's is the little ones. The little ones. Welcoming children. Welcoming children into God's realm, into God's world of care and love. Welcoming them. It is about either welcoming them or, as Jesus goes on to discuss today, potentially putting impediments in their way. Putting impediments in the way of children knowing God's presence and God's love. The context for these readings overall is about how the disciples' actions relate to others' children in particular, who are being drawn into God's love. Within that context, Jesus reminds them. He said in last week's passage, "Welcome the little ones. Welcome the little ones." Today, he says, if you do anything to cause these little ones to stumble on their way towards God's love, it would be better for you if all sorts of terrible things happened. If your hand causes you to stumble in your efforts to welcome children, remember that's the context. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. Nobody takes this passage literally. Nobody takes this passage of Scripture literally. Even those who purport to take the Bible literally don't seem to take this particular passage literally. It's hyperbole. If you remember high school English, or even if you don't, hyperbole is a rhetorical device. It's a way of speaking that is intentionally exaggerated, not meant to be taken literally, used to make a point, used to grab the leader's or the listener's or the reader's attention, not meant to be taken literally, intentionally exaggerated. of the temptation that I think we all are susceptible to think that Jesus or the gospel writers or the people of Jesus' day were dumb compared to us. That they didn't have the mental sophistication or facilities that we do. The gospel writers use very sophisticated literary devices in their writings. Very sophisticated. Jesus' use of parables is deep and thoughtful. And there is no doubt that Jesus understood hyperbole and used it deliberately to make a point, to get the disciples' attention, to try and get John's attention out of his own world and back to what Jesus was talking about. Jesus uses intentionally a sophisticated literary device to make a point. And what was the point? One way to think about it is to step back a little bit about and look at the words that are actually used. Again and again in this morning's passage, Jesus uses a phrase that in our translation, our English translation, is translated as causes you to stumble. If your hand causes you to stumble, if your foot causes you to stumble, if your eye causes you to stumble. Over the years, different translations have tried to capture the meaning of the actual Greek word in that passage somewhat differently. The King James uses the word offend. If your hand offends you, if your foot offends you in your efforts to welcome the little ones, offend. The Greek word is scandalize. Our word scandalize. If your hand scandalizes you, cut it off. If your eye scandalizes you, pluck it out. As I think about it, when we use the word scandal, in English at least, I'm not sure I've ever heard anyone use the word scandal with respect to themselves. Others tend to be the source of scandal. The wayward cousin. A politician every now and then. Others are the source of scandal. This passage asks us to consider whether we can be scandalous in what we do. At its most basic meaning, it means to cause offense. It means to be offensive to something that is deeply true, that is deeply right or deeply honorable. To create a scandal, to be scandalous, is to offend something that is deeply true or deeply right. Jesus says to the disciples and to us, if you are doing something that impedes the entry of these little ones into God's care and into God's love, that's a scandal. You are the scandal. If you are doing anything that blocks or slows or even fails to welcome these children into the presence and love of God. Using hyperbole, using stark, exaggerated language, Jesus is saying to the disciples and to us that the impact of our actions or our lack of actions with respect to other people being welcomed into God's love, the impact of what we do or don't do is very, 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 very important as life and limb. That's Jesus' point. Jesus is stressing as strongly as he can the importance of radical welcome, radical inclusiveness, active welcome. Not just passively radical welcome, but active welcome of, in this case, children into God's love, into God's care. But it's interesting that Jesus uses the example of a child or of children. Jesus does seem to have a special love and care for children. We see that more than once in the gospel stories. And yet, in this particular case, in addition to that literal meaning of welcoming children into God's love, Jesus is using hyperbole again, sort of. We tend to miss that in today's world, miss the point that Jesus is making by holding up a child as the example in this story. In the social structure of Jesus' day, children were not fully human. They were not considered full members of society. They were not taken seriously. They didn't really count. So when Jesus is saying, it is very, very, very important for you to actively welcome these little ones into God's care and into God's love, he's saying to them and to us that we are to radically, actively welcome those people who don't count in our lives, in our world. Even those people who don't count. And if we're supposed to actively welcome them, Jesus says with hyperbole, that means we're pretty much supposed to welcome everybody. Everybody, every day, all of the time. It's important, Jesus says, very important, to actively reach out, welcome and bring into God's care and God's love pretty much everybody. As I sort of take stock of my own life just in the last few days, the last few weeks, there's a little room for improvement in active, radical welcoming of others. How about for you? Amen.